All right, everybody. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 4:49 p.m. Tuesday, September 17th, and we're going to start with a roll call.
David Bateman. Marcy Bendo.
Here.
Nicholas Brennan. Jonathan Butcher.
Here.
Erica Crawley.
Erica's on Zoom.
Okay. Here.
Zora DeRon.
Here.
Eve DeRosa.
Here.
Deborah Dinner. Ellen Gaynor.
Here.
Andy Garcia Ortiz. Andrea Henlon Mott.
Excuse.
Ocean Karim.
Listen.
Ava Lagresa.
Here.
Nicholas Macker.
Here.
Salman Matan. Srimamulu Monodugula. Stephanie Rizzo.
Here.
Christian Tarala. Wendy Treat.
Here.
And Adam Vincent.
Present.
Okay. We're going to start with we're going to move on to the land acknowledgement. We acknowledge the land on which Cornell University operates. For thousands of years, it has been the traditional land of the Cayuga Nation and members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy. Today, this meeting is place is still home to the Cayuga and Indigenous people from across Turtle Island, and we are grateful to have the opportunity to work on this land. I'm now going to call for late additions to the agenda. Are there any late additions to the agenda? Okay. We're going to move on to the approval of the September 3rd, 2024 meeting minutes. So can oh, yes, Wendy. Late addition to the agenda?
No, it actually has to do with the meeting minutes.
Okay. So everyone take a look at the meeting minutes, and then Wendy, what would you like us to look at?
Under land acknowledgement, it says S. Williams stated
I'm so sorry.
The UAs. Yeah, she was chair last year, right?
So, yes, yeah, just an old template. Sorry, that's my bad.
Yep, not a problem. Thank you.
Okay. Everyone else just take a look at it, and then I'll make a motion to strike that after or amend.
Point of inquiry. So in the meeting minutes, it says for nominations for Campus Booker Committee, there was one for Aylin Mott and for Zora DeRon, but seeing on the current agenda that the chair position's vacant. What happened there?
No one volunteered to chair it.
But there was self nominations and
to serve on it. Yeah.
Never mind.
Yes.
I move to the approval of the September 3rd, 2024 meeting minutes by unanimous consent. Sorry.
No. Wait. What do I say?
What do you mean?
I'm gonna make an amendment to the meeting minutes.
For the chair name?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
so you can
all
just say
my motion.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. First thing you're okay. I don't know why I'm holding my placard up. I am moving to amend the second category or second indentation line A to strike S. Williams and write A. Lagresa instead. Do I have a
second?
You?
I have a question.
Okay.
It does, to Ocean's point, it doesn't show that Andrea was listed as the committee chair. It just says to serve on the committee, and it should have been to chair the campus welfare committee. Am I wrong?
I don't think either. That was fair.
Yeah, I thought we did.
The section is planning.
Oh, the campus planning. I'm sorry. I'm confused. Then never mind. Yeah, they did. Point. I'm sorry. Never mind. Okay.
Ooh, sure.
With that amendment, do I have any motions to approve? Thank you.
Seven.
We have a second. Perfect. Thank you. Okay. The meeting minutes have been approved. Thank you. Okay. And then we're, so does that automatically confirm the chair appointments, or do we have to go back into that? Okay.
And also maybe look at campus to fill the campus one.
Yeah, that would be good. We can do that in, should we do it in the second late edition to the agenda?
Well, it's in the agenda.
Oh yeah,
so it's really approved and I'll keep confirming.
Perfect. All right. We're gonna move on to confirming chair appointments. The first chair appointment that we have is Nicholas Maggard for Campus Codes Committee. Do I have a motion to approve?
Second.
Okay. Perfect. Nicholas, congratulations.
Thanks.
we have a vacant position in Campus Welfare Committee, which is the chair of the Campus Welfare mm-hmm. Committee.
Yeah.
So do I have any nominations for chair of the Campus Welfare Committee? If you need us to read the description once more, we're happy to do that.
Can you read the description of the committee? I missed the last meeting.
Jessica, do you have it?
Yep. The Campus Welfare Committee. By delegation from the Assembly, the committee will review any proposed motion related to diversity and inclusion, family support, health services, and any other topic deemed relevant to campus welfare by the Executive Board. The committee may propose, review, and amend resolutions as it deems appropriate. The committee must approve resolutions referred for its consideration before they can be advanced to the Assembly for a vote and for debate. And as noted earlier, last meeting, Andrea and Zora volunteered for the committee, but were not able to chair. And the University Assembly has one more position to fill.
So we need a chair and a...
Well, that would be the chair.
Okay.
Okay. So one more time, do I have any nominations to the position of chair for the Campus Welfare Committee? Maybe next time.
We'll keep trying.
Okay. And then we're making another approval for Campus Committee for Infrastructure, Technology, and the Environment. Vincent? I'm so sorry if I pronounced. I'm sorry, Adam, if I pronounced your last name incorrect.
No, it's right.
Do I have a motion to approve?
I moved.
Perfect. Second. Congratulations, Adam. Okay, we have late additions to the agenda on the agenda two times, but sure. Does anyone have any late additions? Does anyone now have a further late addition? A late addition, one would
Second
say?
Second chance.
Okay, we'll move on to business of the day then. We're gonna have an open discussion about the goals and future reading topics and the speakers that are coming up. But before I see
you. You may want to ask about campus welfare again.
Oh, yes. Perhaps it'll be a late edition.
Yeah.
Or late.
Because there was expressed interest last week.
Mm-hmm. We allowed to go back? Okay. Krishna, I know last week you were possibly interested in Campus Welfare Committee, and the chair position is open.
I'll do it.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do I have a thank you?
I move for the football question to our follow-up.
Second.
Thank you, guys. Okay. Okay. Yay, we chaired that committee. Great job, everybody. Okay. So before we get into the goals and future meetings, I just wanted to touch on the speakers who are coming and what dates they are coming. Let me pull it up.
I have.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
So October 1st, we have Dean Colleen Barry is going to be joining this meeting to discuss the policy on campus expressive activity. And then on November 2nd, Interim President Kotlikoff will be joining their meeting for his regular tour.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions on the speakers? Okay. Now we can move into goals and future meeting topics. Honestly, we can make this an open discussion. What I really want this year is I think that the work comes from the committee, so I want the work to be coming from the committees in general. So please meet with your committees and such as whatever. But let's just have an open discussion now about your committees and what you're interested in doing or what you're hoping to get done this year. Anyone can speak. No. Or even if you want to just say things that you want to, if you're students, if you want to see things changed on campus, anything. I'm just going to take notes.
Abel, would it help if I read who's on which committee?
Yeah.
So campus codes, we have Nicholas Maggard as chair, Deborah Dinner, Jonathan Butcher, some EA and faculty senate representatives who are not here. Campus Welfare Committee, we have Christian Tirola chairing with Andrea Hanlon Mott, who's not here tonight, and Zora Durham, and also some faculty and employee representatives who are not here. Campus Committee on Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment, chaired by Adam Vincent, Sri Ram, who's not here, Eve, and Adam are on this committee, as well as some faculty and employees who are not here, but that helps you with those in the room, what committees you're on.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Alan.
Can I ask my question?
Yes, of course.
Oh, great. Okay. So with the visit on October 1st around the expressive activity, I'm wondering if somebody could help me to understand a little bit more about what the role of the University Assembly could be or is with regard to the development of that policy, because obviously it's been discussed a lot in a lot of different sectors of the university, but I'm not really clear about this particular body's role. Thank you.
So just as a point of reference, Dean Barry is going to be going around to all of the different assemblies, but they're looking for input. The hope to have the policy out in the next couple of weeks. So it'll give us a chance to review it, speak to it. I don't think it'll be a policy just yet. And I think, please, anyone else on the committee, correct me if I'm wrong. It's going to be discussed and it is being brought to for discussion, the policy. And we'll have it in hand prior to that meeting. And again, it'll be to all of the assemblies will have input on the policy.
In one of these listening sessions I went, there was a request for the assemblies to vote on the policy, and that's something that we haven't really discussed in a deep way, but rather than only providing feedback, will the assemblies be willing to vote?
Good point.
In a lot of the feedback that the committee has reviewed, it was brought forward to discuss, especially with the shared governance. And I think that was one of the charges as well, to discuss it with all of the elected representatives around campus, meaning the assembly.
Are there any further questions on the October 1st meeting with Dean Barry?
I'd say as a just a point of clarification, Ellen, you're going to have something to respond to at that meeting. That's the idea. And right. I think the UA is the first assembly that's going to go through this process.
Thank you.
I still would like to have an open discussion about the goals for the year. No pressure.
Or thoughts of speakers you'd like to come to this meeting? Any topics you'd like to topics to delve into would also be in your committees, but anything you'd like to bring forward to you?
In talking with my counterparts at other universities, like as presidents of undergraduate student bodies, one thing that one idea that I've thought to implement through, or bring through the student assembly, but I actually think would be better through the UA, is changing our system of paying parking tickets as either money or what a lot of other campuses have is paying through donations to like a food pantry. And I mean, I have a lot of friends who get parking tickets and just don't want to pay them and probably won't. Until they really get in trouble for it. So I think that, that's an idea that I if I end up having the time, like to bring to this body.
Thank you. Any other thoughts? Yes.
On the topic of parking, do we know who legally owns the parking spaces? I ask that because for Stony Brook University, which is a public university, their ruling says that because it's a public university, the land is owned by the state, and therefore when someone gets a parking ticket, it's money owed to the state instead of donations or other things. It's not a peaceful thing, but because we are a private university, that may be different. But at the same time, there is a portion of campus that's like publicly owned since Cornell Cal's is also part of the city system as well. So I think we would need more information about that as we delve further into possible ways to help out with parking ticket payment.
That might be something that a committee could, I don't know if it's the site committee,
yep.
to really look into. That's something to see if, I mean, research it perhaps with the transportation department, and that's something that you maybe could look into, whoever's on that committee. And then perhaps, you know, if after it's researched, to then, you know, either bring it back to this committee, find out more information, and then possibly a resolution if it's, you know, after you speak with transportation.
Yes, I'll also say that I got this idea like primarily that the first time I heard this idea was from the former student body president at Oklahoma State University, which is also a land grant university. So I do think it's feasible here.
Yes, Wendy.
I don't know who was, I'm guessing you're one of the SA representatives. I'm going to give the other side of the argument with that of not paying parking tickets with cash, but by doing, I think it's a great idea to like have an alternative, like to donate to a pantry or whatever it might be. However, I've been at Cornell for 36 years where you would meet some severe pushback from transportation because that is an revenue enterprise at the university. So they generate revenue for the university as well. So for them to say, yeah, sure, you can pay your parking ticket by making a donation or volunteering somewhere, I don't know that would go over very well. I just wanted to give that flip side of the comment or the suggestion.
I might just consider that perhaps it's not the best system that we're relying on, like people not parking in the right places to fund an entire department. I mean, perhaps as part of this, we can just find some other way to fund it.
I think it's a it's wouldn't hurt to ask, just to as a something to bring up to them perhaps, or you know, as just as a alternative way of paying for violations, even a portion. I think that's a great conversation to have and to start with. That's my own concern.
I'm just gonna follow up with Jules and go on. Ellen.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, I second the idea that some form of charitable contribution sounds great. I don't know enough about all of the different places where donations are needed, across campus in terms of our students. And I'm wondering if there's any, you know, central repository of that information. I mean, we have the food pantry, but there are other, potentially other needs. And so identifying what those are and perhaps targeting, an effort toward the greatest need or across multiple needs might also be something to consider. Thank you.
Yeah. Also, I worry about the alternatives of charitable services or donations and stuff, only because while some of them may be well-intentioned, there could also be some unintended consequences as well. For example, when it comes to food pantry donations, people that tend to donate food tend to be food that's either canned or packaged, which can be very high in sodium, or it can be very much close to expiration. And so when you try to donate as a means of not only Good Samaritan purposes, but also to get out of parking ticket and stuff, to what extent is that necessarily benefiting people as well? Because that may not be the best way to help out people that may be food insecure because they might want other things to the food pantry provides, which is like onions, fruits, vegetables, and other things. I use a food pantry here more often, and the amount of the canned items they have is pretty limited and stuff because they more so focus on like the fresh produce and meats and other things as well, because those tend to be the things that have high nutrition content and is much more needed by people that use them, essentially. And so, which is why like money donations is much more preferred when it comes to like food pantries and all that stuff. While there is like food drives and everything that people host every now and then and stuff, if our goal is to not only encourage people to do charitable things so that future good causes can occur and stuff, there's other better ways to go about it. And I fear that with using this as an incentive to get people out of parking tickets and also do this, that it may end up doing neither of what we want to.
Anyway,
I view this as a good starting point, so I appreciate the feedback and have, you know, consider that my own in my own time in one way or another, but I do think it's better than just the university taking money. If any steps can be made, that is preferable to none. And there are many canned goods that are just as healthy as many alternatives of food. And it's not exclusively canned food is bad food, or non-perishable food is bad food. I'll just read the University of Oklahoma, so a different public university, their food donation appeal system, because it's the first thing that popped up, which I think is pretty rational. It says food donation appeals and steps to donate food to the food pantry to replace a citation are: the student must appeal the citation in question. The citation must be $50 or less. The citation must be the student's first or second citation of the year. The food pantry donation must be made prior to submitting the appeal. And the student must provide proof that no less than 80% of the citation has been given to the food pantry in food item equivalent dollars. So I think that setting like criteria like that, like saying you can't pay off $10 of, I mean, not $10, 10 parking tickets, which is like many hundreds of dollars exclusively in food for the food pantry, because that's getting around things in a lot of ways. But I do think this is like your parking ran out, or you have to make a meeting, you got one ticket, it's your only one of the year, and it's better than paying the university directly.
Jonathan?
I guess I was thinking about the whether or not this particular department is like similarly responsible for like road management, paving, all of the kinds of like it, you know, construction safety that comes with that particular territory that, you know, the university tries to break even with parking ticket things. The idea being that, you know, if you could actually provide all of those services to the whole university by, you know, charging those who break the policies that they are, you know, informed of ahead of time, that that's a reasonable contribution to our community. I guess I'm thinking about like, you know, we also have cigarette taxes, not the university, but, you know, we subsidize education through that and whatever. Whether or not that's good policy or not, I'm just saying, like, if there's an actual expense that we have to pay to do these things, and that's the revenue that it comes from, we would have to figure out how to do that otherwise. And in this context, it might be that there's a, you know, system to try to make this one-to-one. Be good to find out.
Wendy.
I wanted to clarify, I do think this is a really great suggestion. And after reading what Oklahoma State does, I could see that actually being a potential option for students or faculty or staff if they have like one or two tickets. I get all that. I just also wanted to, like, just for point of reference, parking on campus has always and forever be a hot spot. With the recent strike that was just happening, the union was actually asking for free parking. Staff, faculty, and students have to pay an astronomical amount for parking. There is one free parking lot on campus, and that's at North Campus, which is not too convenient for a majority of staff, faculty, and students. So my suggestion, as Marcy said, maybe the site committee, but also Transportation Hearing and Appeals Board, because that's where we have representation on that. Maybe we could bring it to that committee as well and say, would this possibly be an option for a first or second time offender, not someone who's got a stack of tickets and wants to donate $300 to the food pantry and clean their slate.
It sounds like we need to be educated about parking on campus. So why not have transportation come as one of our guests? And then that will allow the site to be informed about the choices they're making.
Great idea. Are there any more comments on this point? Okay. We're still in open discussion, so if anyone else has any goals or items they want to bring to the table, now is the time. Move on. All right, so we're going to move on to assembly reports, and we're going to start with the student assembly.
We have appointed our committee chairs, and luckily we have no vacancies there. We are currently running at about 2/3 of our membership capacity between vacancies and fall elections haven't happened yet, so the bodies, and it'll still be a while until that's all sorted. So TBD on when we'll be fully up and running, but that is the primary update so far.
You want to speak about your resolutions?
Yeah, I forgot that I've conveyed those. Well, we've passed 5 resolutions so far. 2 in governing documents, 1 in creating a committee to be the first round of like filling vacancies, because we have 6 vacancies and that's a high volume, and I worry that might take up a lot of our meeting time if we had to go through six seats worth of applicants as an entire body during our regular meetings. The fourth was a sense of the body resolution in support of the UAW strike. And the fifth is our internal budget.
Yes. Has the student assembly ever considered running ballots, election ballots at the beginning of the year, so you don't pick up a lot of your meeting time? Like, where people can nominate themselves and then do it offline, the votes? So, or do you need it in person?
So we don't have the process for filling vacancies is really vague, short, slash non-existent in our governing documents, in our charter bylaws. And so in theory, I as president could nominate 6 people and that would be that, or do the process that we're going down now, or work in coordination with the elections committee and add these to the fall election ballot, which originally I wasn't expecting a really technical issues to get in the way. And I was expecting this to be handled in September when fall elections are normally mid-October. Mm-hmm. But now it's looking more appealing to just add them to the fall ballot anyway. So there is no process. This is the process that I settled on for this year.
All right, moving on to graduate and professional student assembly. Ocean.
Hello, everyone. I wasn't here in the previous year of the meeting, so I'll give updates in terms of the first 2 GPOC meetings that we've had overall. We started the year with a ton of vacancies, and at the end of our first meeting, we had all but 1 vacancy. There was a lot of people that came by. We filled up all 23 vacancy spots in 1 meeting, which was amazing to see. So that was really exciting. We still have 1 seat vacant, and that's the Masters of Industrial Labor Relations representative, but that will be filled soon as in our upcoming meeting, as our bylaws, once another meeting hits, restrictions for certain classes for representatives can be open to any program. So anyone, including PhD people, can run for that master spot. It would just be renamed to something else, of course. So we feel that in our previous meeting, which was last week, we passed Resolution 1 for us, which was that we, GPSA, would agree to send over a representative, a graduate student representative to the ESG committee once that restarts this year. The ESG committee was a committee that was founded last year by the student assembly to look at a wide variety of issues across campus, one of them in particular being the one on things that Cornell University invests on, and making the committee be the platform for a more impartial platform of reviewing all those things. GPSA has seen a great promise in the committee last year and want to continue to work on it this year. So once the student assembly wishes to reintroduce the committee, we are essentially giving them promise that we will be sending people over. Stay tuned for next week. We have Resolution 2 possibly coming up soon, and that is just to finalize our budget for the executive committee and for the rest of the year. And a few other resolutions are pending within committees that we have going on. And we have a few speakers coming up during our GPAC meetings. The upcoming speaker that we have so far is Dean Barry, who will be coming to GPSA on the 7th of next month to discuss about the expression policy thing on campus. So yeah, there's that. We also have the Department of Transportation coming by on November 6th or so. So that's another thing that we have going on.
Okay, employee assembly.
Erica had to leave early, so she sent the following report. The EA had its first meeting on September 4th, 2024. We have filled our committee chair role. Interim President Kotlikoff will be visiting and speaking to the EA at our meeting tomorrow. And we will also be approving our budget for the academic year at tomorrow's meeting.
Okay.
Faculty Senate.
Faculty had their first meeting on September 11th. And at that meeting, we talked about a resolution to increase the transparency of the tenure process, how external reviewers are selected. We had a presentation on the resources available for classroom, speaking across difference in the classroom, and also how to manage conversations around the election and post-elections. And then President Kotlikoff will be having his Faculty Senate visit September 25th. And Dean Barry will be there for the Faculty Senate discussion of expressive activity policy on October 9th.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to move on to liaison reports.
So I just want to mention that all of these liaisons, we have notified the committees who the liaison is. I do not know if all these committees have met yet, mm-hmm. but they've all been notified.
So if you don't have an update, that's fine. I know that meetings are very hard. So, and it's only, well, you know what? It's the fourth week of the semester, so I guess we'll see. All right, let's start with Campus Planning Committee.
That was Andrea, and she said she'll give an update at the next meeting.
Okay. Coalition for Sexual Violence Prevention.
Oh, yes, that's me. We actually just found out our first meeting is not scheduled until October 23rd. So following that, I will be happy to give a report.
Okay. Sorry, Zora.
When you're done with this, I have another thing from the Student Assembly that I forgot about.
Okay. Student Health Benefits Advisory Committee.
I am the liaison and we have not met yet. So I do appreciate Jessica notifying the committees who their liaison is. And I will wait to see when we meet and give you an update when we get one.
Okay. Sustainable Cornell Council's Carbon Neutral Campus Steering Committee.
And that's Adam.
Report right now.
Okay. Sustainable Cornell Council's Education and Engagement Steering Committee.
That's Erica, who's not here, but I'm guessing she doesn't have engagement.
Okay. Sustainable Cornell Council Campus Operations Steering Committee. Nothing to report. And what did you say was Campus Planning Committee?
Andrea Hanlon.
Andrea. All right. Here we are in open discussion. Back to Zora.
Yesterday, Adam and I had our bi-weekly meeting with Dean of Students, Milo Love, and we discussed Resolution 75 from the 2023-2024 Student Assembly year, which is the establishment of the Campus Pulse Committee, which was passed by my predecessor, Patrick Huell, and so former president of the Student Assembly. And for context, Adam is my vice president. Executive Vice President. I don't know if I said that already. But that resolution and the committee as a whole has a great intention behind it, but it in the actual description, it has everything under the sun thrown into one place in terms of community engagement and social issues and whatever. So that's something where if anyone's interested in, I guess, helping us figure out what we want to do with it and how we want to change it and make it more defined, that would be great. That's the great.
Yes.
You mentioned the Campus Pulse Committee just has everything under the sun. Can you tell me more what it's supposed to do?
Yeah.
Campus Pulse is interesting. It's technically not everything under the sun until you read between the lines in certain spots. But essentially, this committee was created by Patrick to deal with health and the prevention of sexual violence. and also anti-bias training. So it has a provision in there to work with Cornell Health to get we date rate drug testing kits. It has a provision in there to create an anti-bias training for students. It has a provision in there to have all these different groups across campus have like liaison positions on the committee as voting members. It also has some very vague lines, which is where the everything under the sun comes in, like, you know, to promote infrastructure and for the assembly, stuff like that. It's a 4-page document, I believe.
It also contains some incorrect information.
Yes.
It was passed at the last meeting of last year, so it was really rushed.
Yeah, there's some orgs that have their names spelled at best, at worst, you know, they didn't exist. It has really good intentions, and it's gotten the foundation for something really great.
But
did you want to say something?
No, you guys go ahead.
Okay. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
But to my understanding that this is a committee, so it itself cannot do things that's enforceable, can simply just advise the student assembly to take certain courses of actions and recommendations? Or is the student assembly granting the committee powers to enact projects and coordinations on
it? To my knowledge, there's no like line that says we give it the power to do so, but it's given tasks. So, yeah.
Well, it also is endowed with $400,000 right now, and that is why we need to do something with it, because it cannot be, it really it would be really messy to dissolve it because it has no workable purpose at this moment, or like workable charge, realistic charge, because the things have already been put into motion for it, and it's not like our other committees, which just receive money directly from student assembly as like a byline. So yeah. Jonathan.
Yeah, it sounds like we're talking about a physical document with words on it. I wasn't in the committee last year, or the assembly. So is there a copy of that somewhere? It's not in the
If you look up R75, wait.
This is for these, it's in, if you have access to the box.
No, well, no, not even that, you can look it up online.
I'll put the link in the chat. All resolutions are on the assembly website, you can research them. And
Yep, I was looking
I'll put it in chat.
Materials.
Yep.
Sorry.
Christian.
No, good question.
Just my impression, very briefly, is just that it doesn't, the name Campus Pulse doesn't really evoke what you guys are trying to describe
that
it.
That's true.
Like,
when
it sounds,
I think of it, it's not...
Yeah, like it sounds like a committee that like does survey or something, mm-hmm. like of the student body on behalf of the student assembly, which also does not need $400,000. So, I mean, would you be able to like adjust the name or something? You can just guide
yeah, like,
into something
it
new.
It can be changed. Adam is like taking that on, but
mm-hmm.
since it's so relevant,
I'm working on some language changes to the document. I honestly, I like the name. I just feel that the name doesn't really match the mission. My personal theory about why this is that Patrick likely had this idea for a committee. He had the name, and then certain things happened that made him change the actual language to try and get it passed. Like it probably started out with something changed, but some of the remnants of what it originally was is still there.
It like doesn't seem to overlap like a lot of stuff that currently exists.
Yes.
So.
I have a point of information. So are you looking to like amend it and possibly be taking things out or like putting things in, or are you looking to scrap and redo it?
Pretty much everything but scrap and redo it.
Okay.
Like we're gonna demolish, like completely gut the inside of the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
According to the resolution, it has a composition of the committee. Mm-hmm. However, I'm looking through like the resolution, and there's no indication that all of those people that were mentioned in the composition were like consultant in the sponsorship section. So
yes, that's exactly why it's not off the ground like it should be and everything like that, because no one was properly notified.
Mm-hmm.
And it also is essentially a collection of all of our, of like all, a third of our violin organization. So if this became us meeting with our byline presidents once a month, that would be more of a like campus surveying idea behind campus polls. But the way that it is right now is just kind of, there's a lot going on and no one's aware of it except for us.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll say for the timeline on this, I was on Exec last year and this was brought to Exec very unfinished. And like most of what's in here now was not in there. Mm-hmm. And then by Thursday, the next Thursday, this is the resolution we have.
Okay.
So not even Exec had what this looked like.
Oh, even the final version doesn't have a presented date.
Okay. I mean this in the best way possible. And this issue and like this resolution, like on paper, would have been really great as well for a lot of people on campus. And like I resonate with it a lot because I myself am a survivor, so this would have been very helpful. But the way it's ran overall, it seems like it's fairly, I'm trying to be really nice.
None of us wrote it.
Poorly structured overall. There's no sense of communication with Haven, GJAC, or anyone else, or Cornell Health. Some of the things that you have in this resolution saying that you want to implement date rape drug kits in Cornell at the campus and much more. And two other things by fall of 2024. But if, and like this being written very poorly, I get it, I understand that. But then at least maybe some coordination over the summer would have been helpful to at least maybe make this somewhat possible, but we've already passed in the summer already. We're here in the fall right now, and there doesn't seem to be a timeline and getting people coordinated. And but more than half the conversation is students. So coordinating that with like schedules and much more, I would personally recommend that it be advisable to pass a resolution to rescind this resolution. It's a very bad optics, I understand that, but it's already bad optics right now when you try to do something for a good cause and it fails, and then the headline is Student Assembly has failed survivors. And I don't want that to be the headline for y'all.
If I may add, another challenge we face is that there's a lot of student representatives that are mandatory members of this committee, mandatory voting members. It just so happens that the Venn diagram of vacancies and those positions is nearly a circle. Actually, it's a circle within a circle. I believe that every single mandated student position that is listed in there actually is vacant at the current moment.
Yes.
Which I mean, is a little interesting. So a lot of things are gonna have to be reworked. And if we keep some language, it might be that this is something where we'll have to work on it later. We also probably have to change the mission. I still think that we can do some good things with this. And so I'm not giving up on it entirely. I've been thinking a little bit about this since yesterday, about the idea of maybe having the mission be to sort of revitalize the student assembly's sort of reputation on campus, different sort of actions, events, projects that would try and tap into the campus's pulse and sort of just improve student. But that's a very broad sort of statement.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I guess I was trying to understand what the word rescind would mean in this context. Like, to me, I feel like there should be a space for something that's, you know, like, for example, when a court case, something's poorly formed or whatever, it's not that it's accepted or rejected on the merits. We're just saying this is like, you know, it needs to be baked more. I would think that based on what I'm hearing, that's kind of what we're saying, as opposed to something that says we reject any and all strands of ideas that are in this document.
I want to second that. I feel like there's space for revision and education. So speaking with the Office of Inclusion and Equity or speaking to Cornell Health, other spaces and understanding how best you guys can use these resources. They're substantial. And you could have a lot of impact on campus. So I wouldn't give up on it.
Ocean. If anything, I will say that if you guys want to continue working on this, then definitely touch base with all those organizations, rework how you do your composition so that it is not a restrictive framework for you guys overall. I would also question about giving the $1,000 when y'all haven't even started to look into it. Maybe hold that off and maybe hold off the projects that are due by the end of the semester, because I think for this committee to be successful, you need to work from the bottom up of like structuring it, and then maybe have the committee make some recommendations to the student assembly. And if it's like anything fiscal related, then they can make those recommendations to the floor to then y'all do it, instead of like having pretty much little to no oversight as it currently is being read, because they could pretty much do anything with the $8,000 and call it for the purpose of increasing financial support and programming for consent education. I think there needs to be a lot more reworking with that, unfortunately.
I want some clarification, or this is just a question I have. If a resolution is like improperly formatted or like doesn't have the date per se, like is there a like, and it's passed by the assembly, like is if it's passed, it's passed, like
you mean
in that sense, if you're talking in particular,
like
so yes, if the assembly has already approved and adopted a resolution, it doesn't matter what the format is or
what
the
state
errors
it's in
or
whatsoever. If there's like contradictions in the document, there's no abstract.
Like our governing documents.
So there should be, and we try to work with assemblies on this, but some assemblies work much faster than others, and
Try to
give us a lot of time to help them.
Okay.
But yes, if they've already been adopted, they're adopted.
But
you could always write another resolution this year.
I was gonna say you can amend them.
Well, it's already, but it was from last term.
Oh.
And it's been sent to President Pollack, who approved it.
Okay.
Twice.
I have a different topic. That's right.
Okay, different topic for open discussion.
All right. This is something I just want to put out there in general in hopes of like a potential collaboration, I guess. So as a graduate student, I was part of my student government in my alma mater. And something that student government has done almost very consistently is host events on campus traditions almost every month or so. And that was something that they've done a lot to help out with, like increasing student life, engaging faculty and staff, and so much more. And I haven't really seen too much of that from like us as assemblies and stuff. I've seen it through clubs and organizations, which yes, my previous student government did fund those in a piece of, but even then that government also did step on our own as well to make things more engaging. And we were in GPSA, we were in talks of like doing more things for programming as well on top of that. Ava is our programming chair, and we have a lot of ideas that we want to like introduce and everything. And I think it would be very beneficial, since all of us are in the shared governance system, all working towards the betterment of Cornell University, why not also the betterment of Cornell life as well? We don't have any proposed like plans or events right now and stuff, but I think just to pick people's brains, if y'all are interested, potential collaborations to host certain events on campus, whether it be a not just like a slope fest or whatever, but also maybe like a pride fest or a Caribbean fest or maybe some kind of a tradition on top of like what Dragon Fest is like or whatever. Something that could be really exciting. And then to also show more visibility of the shared governance system overall that, oh yeah, student assembly exists on campus. They do a lot more than just having posting, like passing resolutions and advocacy, do things to like actively engage people. Or GPSA, we do a lot more than just engaging with graduate students and hosting the one gala a year. We do so much more to make things better. So yeah, just putting it out there to see if anyone's interested. We, like within ourselves, want to do more events, but they can only get bigger and better if there's more collaborations.
I just want to say I love that idea. And I love that you brought it here to the university assembly where all of the assemblies meet in. It seems totally appropriate and lovely.
Any other comments? Any other topics for open discussion? Okay. We are moving on to adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn? Okay.
So,
motion.
Okay. At 5:46 p.m., this meeting is adjourned.